WJFK AM Morningside.
And WJFK HD3 Manassas. Always live on the free Odyssey app. DC's home for wagertainment. Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Laura. Final hour. Power hour. You better you bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our amazing crew, Brock Vereen, and you. The power hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. We got a little sidetracked last hour talking with our friend of the show, Carrington Harrison, about Kanye West and some of our favorite Kanye West songs. And as a result, we're a little behind. We still have a lot to do. We got to talk some New York Yankees. We got to get into the Detroit Tigers, the Phillies, the Brewers as we approach the Major League Baseball trade deadline on Monday. We'll get to that coming up in about 20 minutes. And I will tell all of you two things. Numero uno. The NBA star that should be demanding a trade from his team, and the single most pathetic thing on a long, I'm talking CVS receipt level long, the single most pathetic thing on a CVS receipt level list of pathetic things about Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels football team. Number one on that list. That's coming up later this hour. Bets for tonight. We'll close the show. But joining us right now to kick off the Power Hour on this terrific Football Tuesday, and it is terrific, 32 out of 32 teams reporting today to training camp. We are thrilled to have this guy on the show because he is kicking ass right now on our sports station in Los Angeles, The Fan in L.A., the brand new Odyssey sports station, been on the air for a couple months, been making news, friend of the show Bill Ryder making national news yesterday for his take on LeBron James leaving the Lakers. We are honored to bring on to the show Brock Vereen, who is the co-host of Brock and Alex, middays on The Fan in Los Angeles, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time. Also, game analyst on the Big Ten Network, former NFL defensive back, on Twitter at his name, Brock Vereen. Brock, Nick Costos here. You better you bet Westwood One Sports. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. And what would a Monday be without Bill Ryder making news talking about LeBron James, who he claims to love, although there is absolutely no evidence of that?
Well, I would say there's, and I'm friends with Bill, so I feel like I can, I feel like Bill does not like LeBron, and LeBron also does not like Bill, which is totally fine. I think it's kind of cool to say, like, LeBron James doesn't like you. I wish LeBron James didn't like me. I think that would be a feather in my cap. Now, Brock, before we talk some sports, a little birdie told me, that birdie is mutual friend of ours, Andrew Williams, that you don't have your first sip of coffee every day until 1 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time. How in the hell is that possible?
This thing has grown so much. So the brief story of it is I've been working at Big Ten Network for 5 years now. And in year three, so 2 years ago, I'm sitting there making coffee and a guy says, "Hey, how come you don't have coffee until the afternoon?" I said, "What?" He said, "You only have coffee in the afternoon." I said, "That's not true." And I had to sit there and think. And I called my wife and she made me realize, yeah, on work days, you don't drink coffee until 1 p.m. I don't know why it happened, but it stuck, and I'm not going to break something that's not, I'm not going to fix something that's not broken. So yes, on the weekends, I'll have coffee with breakfast, but on work days, and when not, now that it's almost football season, the weekends do become work days, and the first cup of coffee is not until 1 p.m.
So like, are you like not tired in the morning? Like, do you have that extra pep in your step? Because I actually have it here. I generally only have one coffee during the day. This is the cup for people that can see. This is a gigantic cup. This thing is filled with, this is filled with gasoline every morning, iced coffee. I drink it at 6 in the morning Eastern time. Are you got that natural pep in your step in the morning?
I do, and I don't want to act like I'm caffeine-free. I will sometimes have black tea. Typically, it's chamomile tea, which doesn't have caffeine, but sometimes it's black tea. But no, I just stick with coffee until the afternoon. I've realized the afternoon cup of coffee is my favorite cup of coffee, so I want to maximize that. And maybe the biggest issue is once I start drinking coffee, I can't stop. So maybe by pushing it back in the day, I naturally can limit overdosing on caffeine.
This is why I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. Because if I have one, I want to put them on like a nice Italian roll and eat a cigarette sandwich. That's why I don't smoke anymore. All right. I guess we should probably talk some sports. So you guys are doing an awesome job, obviously, the Fan in Los Angeles. And a ton of excitement this year about both the LA teams, obviously, as training camps beginning today in the National Football League. Rams began earlier this weekend because they play the Niners in Melbourne, Australia, before the first NFL Sunday. Let's start with the LA Rams, the favorites to win the NFC, the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Do you see it that way, Brock, or are you looking to poke some holes in this team ahead of the season starting?
Well, first off, the fact that the Rams, as the Super Bowl favorite, who play in a city that is hosting the Super Bowl, where they last won their Super Bowl on their home stadium. Yeah, let's go ship that key divisional matchup to the other side of the world. Love that, NFL. Great job there on the whole marketing standpoint. But as far as the Rams are considered, it has to be Super Bowl or bust. I mean, this is, on paper, this is the most talented team, has potential to be the most talented team I've ever seen in my lifetime. I think you have a reigning MVP in Matthew Stafford, who at 38 years old has never looked younger. You have to keep him upright, but you have the genius play caller in Sean McVay, who has taken the reins from Kyle Shanahan as far as who every other offense in the NFL wants to copy. You have Puka Nacua, who needs to get his act right off the field, but on the field it is unmistakable that he's among the best. And you have Davante Adams, who's walking into the Hall of Fame in a couple of years from now. Defensively, of course, the addition of Myles Garrett is massive. Potentially the addition of Aaron Donald. But what they did in the secondary is what actually excites me the most. Having the 6'2", long-arm, physical cornerback in Jalen Watson to handle those bigger receivers. And the versatile Trent McDuffie, who can play nickel. He can play outside corner. He can play inside corner. What Chris Shula, the defensive coordinator, is going to be able to do defensively, knowing that he's the master of confusing quarterbacks. Every single pre-snap look looks exactly the same. So he littered his defense with versatile DBs that if you're a quarterback, you don't know if Trent McDuffie's playing nickel or safety this play. You don't know if Quentin Lake's at corner or safety, and that's going to cause a quarterback to hesitate. And now you add Myles Garrett to the picture, so you don't even have to cover that long. I do think it's a Super Bowl or bust situation.
I don't think there's any question about it. Now, I am not a hater, but I think I'm going to come across as one here when I talk about the Los Angeles Rams, because I do want to, I'm acknowledging, right? Like, they're the favorite. Yeah. They're the best team on paper, right? Who could argue otherwise? If I were to poke some holes in this team right now, and I'm curious what your response is going to be to this, I would look at the offensive side of the ball, and I would say, and maybe your counter will be, well, they'll just play two, three tight ends on the field. Terrence Ferguson's the third receiver, basically. They have no speed on offense, like none. Like, Puka is great. Davante Adams is still great. None of them is, like, they don't have that burner on offense right now. Maybe they mitigate that, but just playing a million tight ends, I don't know. But I think that's a small issue for this team. And I also look at this offensive line. I don't think it's one of the best offensive lines in the league. I don't think they have a ton of depth on the offensive line. We'll see if Alaric Jackson gets out of legal trouble. I still have beef with the Ty Simpson pick, because why didn't you just pick Monroe Freeling or Mekhi Lemon there? Solve some of these problems here. So if I'm poking holes, I'm looking at line and I'm looking at lack of speed on offense. For if you like another team in the NFC, that's what I would hold on to. What is your response to those critiques by me of the LA Rams?
First off, they are completely fair critiques, although if you're going to call yourself a hater, I will happily latch on to that. So, Alaric Jackson is a massive issue, and he has to get his act together off the field. And even though he technically is not being charged on two of the three things, Goodell and the NFL can come down and suspend him at any moment. And quite honestly,
he's a multi-time offender, so so they may be more willing to do that in this instance. Yeah,
exactly. And from the unfortunate and disgusting things that have been alleged so far, they would be within their right. How this season falls apart is Alaric Jackson is suspended. Matthew Stafford, his blind side is weak, and at 38 years old, I mean, he is perpetually one hit away from having to call it a career. He's taken so many blows in Detroit in his old age. And that's how this falls apart. In regards to the speed thing, the beauty of Sean McVay is when Devontae Adams got hurt last year, they pivoted to the 13 personnel, which you hinted at, right? One running back, three tight ends. And they beefed up that tight end room and clearly have faith in it because they did not draft a Mekhi Lemon. They did not draft a Brendan Thompson. They did not go get a speedy guy as the wide receiver three. And as of right now, since Tyreek Hill...
They took another tight end, right? They took it and they drafted another tight end in Max Clair.
They took historically slow tight end Max Clair from Ohio State. And I think what Sean McVay is doing is just trying to zig when everybody zags. And if you look at, we'll say, Bill Belichick when he was with New England, when people were pounding the rock, he spread it out with a bunch of 5'9" wide receivers. When people wanted to throw the ball, he brought everyone in, got Rob Gronkowski, and played a tight end game. I think Sean McVay is just trying to zig where they zag. The speed would be concerning, but in his style of offense, in the wide zone that they run, he's trying to attack vertically with power, and that is something that will cause issues against the San Franciscos, the Seattles, really just the NFC West that can play that physical style of football. But it leans itself very well outside of the division for teams that are built for speed, and you have the bruising style of play that the Rams play. So you are completely fair to be concerned, but I do feel that Sean McVay, up to this point, has earned the right to say, I've been two steps ahead of everyone for about 5 years now. Just trust me with this tight end thing.
We'll go to the LA team, the Chargers, and the AFC in a moment here, but just one last on the Rams and the NFC. If not the Rams in the NFC, Brock, who are you taking and why?
Seattle Seahawks, and it's the boring pick, but Seattle is kind of in this weird place, similar to the Knicks, where even though they just won it...
Oh, now I'm a Knicks fan here, so now my antenna's up. Let's hear what you got here on this.
So you're going to be able to relate to this. The Knicks were somehow the underdog, even though they were on track to having one of the most historic playoff runs in NBA history since the 01 Lakers. And even as the clock was winding down, it's as if people refused to admit that the Knicks were going to win the NBA championship. And the second that the new season starts, the Knicks are an afterthought. That's kind of what the Seahawks are going through, because people don't believe that Sam Darnold could be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. People don't want to believe that he actually has turned a new leaf. And yes, they lost Kenneth Walker III. Nick Emenwori and that defense that Mike McDonald has created is spectacular. If you want to go down a rabbit hole of freaks of nature, watch Nick Emenwori, who just wrapped up his rookie season and was a key component. And I would argue every single defense right now, the same way that offenses are trying to copy what Sean McVay is doing offensively, defenses are trying to copy what Mike McDonald is doing defensively with Seattle. The problem is they don't have Nick Emenwori on their team. The guy can play every position. And I'm a firm believer that the champ is the champ until you knock them out coming out of the NFC. You didn't ask, but coming out of the AFC, I'm really high on the Houston Texans, and I expect a Houston Texans
pick them.
Yeah,
I might pick them also.
Yeah, you would be absolutely right. I as we sit here right now, I'm expecting the Houston Texans to come to LA and match up with the Rams in the Super Bowl here in a couple months.
I love the Texans this season. Love the Terry. Texans this season.
They're terrifying.
You know, let's go to You Better You Bet on this Tuesday. Brock Vereen from the Fan in LA here with us on You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports. Let's talk about the Texans for a second now. I literally did like, I don't know, like 8 to 11, whatever it was, or on the first hour of the show on Houston. I'm higher on Houston than a lot of people. I'm guessing you'll agree with this. I don't think the defense is going to take a step back this year. I think they're still, the players are too good, I think, for that to happen. It's just, can you get average to like slightly above average quarterback play from CJ Stroud? Can the offensive line not, can it be slightly below average instead of absolutely terrible? And I think at minimum they're playing on Championship Sunday. What do you think about CJ? We love this defense. What about the offense?
Yes. What happened last year mentally with CJ Stroud, only he can answer, but anybody can watch him on those really from week 11 onward and say, something is wrong between the ears here. And the fact that D'Amico Ryans had to punt the ball, I believe there were like 3.5 minutes left in that game in their when they got bounced.
Oh, the surrender punt against the Patriots. Yes. Yeah, just like you gave up.
The fact that they had to punt the ball because they thought it is more likely for our defense to get a pick six or a fumble recovery than for CJ Stroud to do anything. That has to be rock bottom. If you are CJ Stroud, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, saying that is the most embarrassing moment you have ever had, probably in your entire football career, going back to Pop Warner. And that is going to kick you in the butt to just not be terrible. Like you just said, CJ Stroud doesn't have to be incredible. He doesn't even have to be good. He just has to not be bad. And this team walks to the Super Bowl last year. I'm going to assume he is much better. They kind of retooled their offense a little bit. They have a new offensive line. They bring in David Montgomery. They're going to remove the ball from CJ Stroud's hands. They're not going to rely on him. They're going to rely on a ground and pound game. But when asked and called upon, CJ Stroud will be better, because there's no way you can hit rock bottom and not hit this season on the right foot.
I just want to go back and just say I am kind of, sometimes people will come on the show and say things and it makes me mad because it's so good that I wish I had come up with it first and I didn't. The Knicks Seahawks comparison, what we're talking about, it was inspired. And also you kind of have like the Sixers with LeBron, they're kind of playing the role of the Rams now also, which is, that was, I just want to say that was exceptional. Right. It was really good. Well, let's talk about the Chargers for a second. A couple things on LA. A lot of people think, and I'm not disagreeing with it, right? I kind of think this is going to happen also, that Mike McDaniel is going to turn this offense into something supercharged, right? And I think the upgrade from Greg Roman to Mike McDaniel is going to be significant on offense for the Chargers. With Slater back and Ault back, the two tackles, do you see it that way for the Chargers offense this year, and why?
So Mike McDaniel is the genius regarding the run game. Forget everything that happened in Miami regarding the run game, but he reinvents ways to run the same run plays that you've seen been run your entire life. They are going to be a downhill football team. They are going to be physical as hell, and you will see gashes of 30 yards, 40 yards. They brought in Keaton Mitchell, who's kind of going to be their speedster. This run game is going to be phenomenal. The problem that the Chargers are going to run into is when it's 3rd and 8, I don't understand how they're going to convert. You look at how Mike McDonald orchestrates his pass game. Yes, a lot of it was because Tua doesn't have a strong arm, but it's about getting the ball to his guys quickly and essentially turning everything into a punt return, right? Dump the ball to Jaylen Waddle, dump the ball to Tyreek Hill, and let them make a bunch of guys miss. It's not really downfield, and the Chargers do not have guys capable of doing that. Brennan Thompson is speedy, but he's a rookie. You're not going to build your offense around a rookie. Ladd McConkey is precise. He's crisp. He's not the level of speedster that Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are. Then you look at Justin Herbert, a massive mountain of a man that can throw the ball 80 yards. They're retooling his footwork. They're making his drop back different. They're really messing with him. And I just don't understand how what Herbert does and what Mike McDaniel wants to do in the pass game, it's water and oil, and something's got to give. So Mike McDaniel is big on 2.4s, meaning if a quarterback gets rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds, it doesn't matter how good the offensive line is. You think of Tom Brady in his best years, Drew Brees, they get rid of the ball quickly. That's not what Herbert does. So if you're trying to convince me that in one singular offseason, Justin Herbert is just going to become not even a different quarterback, but just a completely different player. Like he's been playing this way his entire life, and you're going to retool this. I have really strict doubts on how successful they're going to be in the air. Maybe they're able to get themselves in situations where they don't have to throw the ball deep a ton. I just don't understand how they're going to do it. And there is a lot of pressure on Herbert to figure it out, and there's a lot of pressure on Harbaugh to figure it out. I don't think anyone's job is on the line, but the problem with the AFC West last year is Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. The AFC West is wide open for the first time since Mahomes took over as a starting quarterback, and you let the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix come in here and state their claim. That's embarrassing. And the Chargers not only need to take care of the AFC West, they have to win a playoff game this year. Something's got to change.
And I was going to, for as bad as CJ Stroud was in the divisional round at Foxborough, Justin Herbert was just as bad in the wild card round Sunday night in Foxborough for the Chargers. And he's played his two worst games, I think, of his career in the postseason, 2 years ago against Houston and then this past January against the New England Patriots. Maybe this is the final, not sure yet, but I have one more question on the Chargers. So we collectively in the media, right, spend a lot of time talking about offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel. We all know who he is. Offense is sexy, fantasy football, all that jazz. We're going to have to start, this is not just a youth, it's like a me thing, right, on this show. Have to start talking about, because I talked about the Ravens earlier in the show, right, Brock? And I love Baltimore this year. I think Jesse Minter is going to turn this defense into something really special. Yep. He was the Chargers defensive coordinator the last couple seasons, so now he's the head coach in Baltimore. Someone, and this is not the former Georgia Tech coach, Chris O'Leary is now the defensive coordinator of the Chargers. Now, is it possible Chris O'Leary is the next Bill Belichick? Of course it's possible. We have no idea how this is going to go with O'Leary replacing Jesse Minter. What about Chris O'Leary? Because everyone's talking about McDaniel. What about the new defensive coordinator, Chris O'Leary, for the Chargers?
It has to be a home run. You're sitting there thinking, why the hell is Jim Harbaugh throwing this pitch when he could land any available defensive coordinator? He could probably go poach a different defensive coordinator and just pay him more. Why the hell is Chris O'Leary? And the honest question is, we don't know until we see it. I will say, as far as personnel-wise, the Chargers always have stars, so they always rank in the top five of defense. Well, not always, but under Jesse Minter, they did. I see a situation where they're on the field less this year because Mike McDaniel's run game is going to be so dominant. They're going to control the clock more instead of trying to outscore teams, which is where they got in trouble. Khalil Mack is old and is not the threat that he once was. Tuli Polotu is a future star, and that is now the key guy that you have to worry about on the defensive front. You have an undersized linebacker room who have ton of heart, ton of grit, but they're just not going to be premier linebackers. They're Deion Henley, I believe, is 6 foot. Denzel Perryman is 5'11". And they can make plays, but they do get taken advantage of a little bit, especially toward the end of the year. You have Derwin James, who they made the highest paid safety for the second time in his career. And Derwin James is, if we're going with basketball references, he's kind of like a Paul George. He is so respected. Any college player right now puts on Derwin James tape and studies him. They borderline worship him and his ability. He's kind of the face of being able to play free safety, strong safety, box safety, and nickel. But what on his resume explains how good he is, right? Similar to Paul George. Anyone who plays in the NBA that talks about Paul George puts him up there with the best and fundamentally and from a technique standpoint among the best. But if you were to explain that to a casual basketball fan, they're looking at his resume saying, how is this guy this good, right? So the Chargers are a defense that are loaded with talents but have not had a ton to show for it lately. And to answer your question, Chris O'Leary has a lot to prove in regards of what can you accomplish that Jesse Minter didn't, because it's almost like a Ty Simpson situation. We're scratching our heads saying, I trust that you did your research, but until I see it, I'm going to have my doubts.
Final question, about a minute for the answer. The 26-27 Los Angeles Lakers are the blank best team in the Western Conference.
Third best team in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Are in their own category. The Lakers are in that second tier where it's them, the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, and the Rockets. And I am not a believer.
Seven game series, Wolves, Lakers. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Lakers. The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be exciting. That thing is going to implode in ways that you cannot even fathom. It will be hilarious, but that team will fall apart. I promise you.
I don't know if I agree with that. So why do you like them so? Because I think they'll be I'm not saying they'll miss the playoffs. Just like a Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Walker Kessler team, and this is assuming everybody's healthy.
True.
They're not even sniffing a championship, and they're locked into this now for years.
They're not winning a championship this year, but what they have for the first time since 2018 is a direction. When they brought in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, since then, from that year up until this last season, they never had structure. J.J. Redick was not able to run his offense. For the first time, you have Luka Doncic and a clear path of what everyone's role is. When LeBron was on the court and trying to run the show as a partial GM, it was what he wanted. Now you finally get to build a structure. It's still around a player in Luka Doncic, but you get to build a structure and a strategy and find players to fit that instead of trying to appease LeBron James.
I don't know if behind door number one is LeBron and Anthony Davis like 8 years ago, or here's door number two with Luka, Austin Reeves, Walker Kessler, and the Snowtime Lakers. I'll go door number one. That's just me. Brock,
you're
stud,
number
dude.
One. I will check in with you in early next year when the Lakers are the third best team in the West and they get bounced out in the second round, and we'll be happy about it. We're going to love every second of it.
Yeah, but he's going to get wiped off the face of the earth by the Spurs or the Thunder or perhaps the Denver Nuggets or perhaps the Minnesota Timberwolves. Dude, you're awesome. I really enjoyed this. Brock and Alex, middays, 10 a.m. Well, don't say that because we'll call you next week. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time, The Fan in Los Angeles, Big Ten Network. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brock Vereen joining us here on the show. He's stud, man. The station's cooking. Our friend Andrew Williams doing a great job with The Fan in Los Angeles. Brock and Alex Curry, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time, middays on The Fan in Los Angeles. Well, another interview that went over time. Seems to be my favorite thing. I'm self-diagnosing. We'll take a break. Coming up next, more Major League Baseball as we head to the deadline. What I think the Phillies need to do, what the Brewers need to do, and why the Dodgers are watching Detroit, Michigan very intently. We'll do some NBA and a little Bill Belichick as well in the final 35 minutes here on a Tuesday on Westwood One Sports.
Less than 1 week until the MLB trade deadline. Buyers, sellers, contenders, pretenders. Who could be on the move? The lines are about to be drawn. Westwood One Sports.
As a fitness coach, my active psoriatic arthritis can slow me down. With Skyrizi, risankizumab Rizza, I'm treating my skin and joint symptoms so I can keep moving. Skyrizi, a prescription-only injection for adults, helps me move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. And for those who have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible. With Skyrizi, there's no daily dosing. It's just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Indeed presents hires you can't afford to get wrong, like head administrator for a state-of-the-art surgical center.
What can I do for you, Doc?
We need to talk about the lights.
Ah, the mood lighting, relaxing, right? Much better than those old hospital vibes.
The hospital's supposed to have hospital vibes.
You seem tense. Let's dim the lights a bit.
This is a job for sponsored jobs.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Empower.
Pete's back on the links with all new golf clubs and hopefully less swearing.
Dang! Sliced it.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money so he can be a little bad.
Heads up!
Oof. Talent sold separately.
Guy said these were slice proof.
At least he has money for lessons. Invest well, live a little. Start today at empower.com.